So inshallah, we're going to continue with the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we're coming to basically the end of the Meccan phase. As we know, the Meccan phase is a phase filled with torture, a phase filled with oppression, and a phase filled with, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam really establishing the foundations of Islam. And it's very important for us to recognize and focus on the Meccan phase. Why? Because really today, when we look at our situation today, we realize something very, similar to what has happened at that time and what is happening today all over the world as well. Sometimes we may read some surahs, some ayats, some seerah or hadith, and we think it has no application to what's happening today. But it's actually very, very similar to all that is occurring in the world today. And one of those things is that in the Meccan phase, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Fil. He revealed, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending a surah that talks about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done with the people of the elephants? And when we realize, we actually see not only at the Meccan phase, but even today, this has so much relevance, because what is the surah in essence talking about? We might think that, okay, an incident happened all the way at the birth year of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's a good incident and that's it, it's just a story. But actually, it's extremely applicable to today. I'm not going to get into the details of it, and I'm not going to mention every single thing specifically, but if you start to think about it, you will put the puzzle pieces yourself together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sends this surah, He says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. He doesn't use past tense. Rather, He uses future tense. He doesn't say, أَمَا رَأَيْتَ مَا فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَرَى. Right? He doesn't say ra'aita, he says tara. He doesn't use the past tense, he used the future tense. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about a story that has occurred already, something that has been done already, and He's using future tense, and He's using, something that is occurring again and again? Well, because, whenever this is used, a future tense, it basically goes to show us that this type of incident is going to happen again and again. And when we look at what happened with Ashabul Fil, what happened in the whole story, we will realize that actually the same incident happened multiple times throughout history, and in fact it is happening today. What was Ashabul Fil? Ashabul Fil was basically Abraha, who was the governor or the president of Yemen, you could say, at the time. And he wanted to establish himself politically. He wanted to establish himself economically. He wanted to make Yemen the place of economic development. And so he built this huge church to bring the traffic of Kaaba, to bring the traffic of Mecca, to bring the traffic of Hajj, all to Yemen. And now he wanted to do that. However, the people are going to go to the Kaaba. Nobody's going to come to this big church that he built. So he needed an excuse. And the excuse he used is that, okay, one person came and he defecated, did number two over there. Even if somebody did that, although never something like that should be done, even if he did that, one person's doing does not require you to go and kill the whole entire nation, to go and kill multiple tribes, to go and destroy a place of worship. But it was actually just used as an excuse. It was used as an excuse to go and to invade, to go and to destroy. So he used that as an excuse, and now another thing we learn is that he's going to bully. It's a strong, developed nation. They have a lot of military power. They have a lot of military equipment to show. And at that time, you could make the equivalency of an elephant to an F-16 fighter jet or something like that. And so they have all these elephants, and they have all this strength, and they have all this power, and they're trying to go and destroy a qawm that has nothing. That has nothing. And so the concept of a bully nation, a concept of an unjust nation, a concept of an oppressive nation, going to destroy a nation after they found or made up an excuse for themselves, is what the story of Alam Tara Kayfa Fa'ala Rabbuka Bi Ashabil Fil is. And we might think that, okay, mashallah, today the Imam Saab read Alam Tara Kayfa with a big, high tone and a low tone and a squeaky voice and a deep voice. But for us, it's to learn what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to communicate to us. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicating to the people of Mecca at that time? And what is He communicating to the people of Irving in Texas today? To the people of Mecca at that time, is that yes, these Quraysh, they have strength over you, they have power over you, and they're trying to all come over you and attack you and oppress you and, all of that. But remember that somebody else in the past tried to do that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them, such destruction that they became a lesson for the mankind. That was to the people of Mecca. To the people of Irving, to us, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? That don't worry, this is a repetitive thing. That a nation is going to come, they're going to oppress, they're going to bully, they're going to have strength, they're going to have power. But you need to have your strength and you need to have your faith and your strength in your faith and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond. So this surah is revealed at that time that do you not see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done to the people of the elephant? And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that, why is He bringing the people of the elephant? This whole story is about Abraha. This surah should be called Surah to Abraha. This should be called Ashabu Abraha, the people of Abraha. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes no dhikr of him to show that this person is so irrelevant that we're not even going to talk about him. Right? But it was him as a tyrant, as an oppressor, as an advocate of injustice who's coming to do this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, listen to something, learn something from this. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, what did He do to them? أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did He not make their kaid. Kaid is almost like a plan that's a secret plan. Right? Did he not make that go to waste? When we look today, how was the plan of the Ashabul Fil secret? Can somebody answer, how was that secret? How was that hidden? How was it? In fact, when Abraha was leaving, he made a public announcement. Said, guys, we're going to go destroy the Kaaba. He didn't make it a secret. He didn't go on a secret mission or send secret spies. He got a strong 60,000 army and he got the F-16s of the time, the elephants and all of that. And anybody who went, on the way, they informed that this is what we're doing. And if anybody's going to fight us, we're going to fight you back. So how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making this, a kaid? How is He wasting this secret? How is this secret in any way? Well, it's to show that actually, this is what they claim. We're going to destroy the Kaaba, nothing else. We're destroying the Kaaba. But what were they actually doing? The secret plan was not that. It wasn't that. It was to basically bring back the religious significance to the church that Abraha has built in Yemen. To bring back the economic development to Yemen that he strove for. To bring back political power and strength to Abraha himself. That was the goal. So you see, sometimes people will put something out there that this is what we're going for. But in reality, what are they doing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَدْلِيلِ. Did we not make their plan go completely to waste? Right? So over here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is what's happening to them. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَدْلِيلِ. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. What's shown over here? Which country helped? Which tribe helped? Which person helped? Nobody. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has army in the skies. He does not need to use people. He does not need to use nations. He does not need to use anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can use whoever, however He wants. And so what happened? At this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses what? Uses birds. Something we consider so insignificant for destruction. We realize later on in Sirah is going to come, the Ghazwatu Ahzab. All of the nations got together to go and destroy Islam in Medina. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use over there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used rih. He used such wind that the tents and the pots and the pans and everything was flying, and the Quraysh are like, we gotta run away. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use in the story of Nuh alayhi salam? He used a flood. And so Allah does not really need anyone. It's just Allah is giving you a chance. Are you going to stand up to injustice or not? Are you going to do your fair share or not? Right? Allah does not say that, oh, don't you see that tribe tried to help, that person tried to help. None of that is used. Right? وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلِ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. What is the process? What is the strategic plan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan. And that is that he is sending these rocks in such way that when they go into this side of the head, they come out from the back. Right? فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. What's عَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ? عَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. عَصْف is like a wind, right? But عَصْف is basically when you see the wind coming, you see the leaves on the tree, the leaves fall, the leaves turn dry and withers away, and then the camel or the animals go to eat it. And then whatever is the remainder that falls from the mouth of the camel or the mouth of the animal, that's ka'asbin ma'akul. That's what Allah has made them into. He turned them into this. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. And so all of this is revealed at the time of Makkah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to strengthen the faith of the believers at this time to show them that, hey guys, don't lose faith. Allah has an army. Allah knows about the oppressor. Allah knows what they're doing, and Allah has a plan of how He will take care of them. And that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strengthening our faith to understand the seerah, to understand the context of the surah, to know that how today in the world can we look at the world and understand it with a Quranic worldview, to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy the oppressors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will preserve His faith. Right? People will try. They want to, you know, destroy. يُرِيدُونَ يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. Right? They want to go and extinguish the religion of Allah, the nur of Allah, the light of Islam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will perfect it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would lighten up with it even more. And so we see this from the context of Makkah. I wanted to speak about that. Although last week we have left off in Isra wal Mi'raj, and we emphasize the point that Allah will never let you suffer so much that you will be left out there to dry. Anytime hardship comes on you, inna ma'al usri yusra, there will definitely be an ease coming to you. I was just speaking to Brother Pasha as well, that sometimes hardship comes on us, just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to get closer. And so sometimes a hardship can come in a disguise of what? In a disguise of a blessing. Should I mention your story? No? So, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him through a test. Allah put him through a test. After hearing the incident that he's went through, it was a pretty severe test. It puts you in grief, it puts you in all of that. But after you go to the point where you exhausted all your efforts, there's nobody there to help. La malja'a wa la manja illa minka wa illa ilayka. Right? There's no escape for us. There's no way for us to go to except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we reach that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His help. And we see this continuously with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's going to the most severest point in his life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will immediately send some help. And so we need to bring this to our life, because when we are at the weakest point, don't give up. Don't think it's done. Don't think it's all done. That is the, you know, it's like when you're picking up, you know, weights. You're picking up weights. What professional trainers will tell you is, if you're picking up, the first 10 times you're picking up, you know, it's nice and easy. But then you start to go to, like, you know, let's say you're doing 50 times. The 51 time, the 52 times, even though you did 50 times before, what will really build your muscles, I'm teaching you guys, you know, how to work out. What will really teach you guys What will really build your muscles is actually that time where your hands are about to break and you're picking up at that time. Those last few moments are more beneficial and are more strengthening for your muscles than the 50 times that you did before. And so you might be going through a test and mashallah, you're passing and you're good and you're good and you're good. And now a time comes where it's just so hard. It's at that time when you show strength that will give you a certain level of iman that all those easy times that you went through, you were not able to get. It's at that time when you're at the brink of giving up, you're at the brink of dying, you're at the brink of all of those things, that will develop more of your faith than perhaps you doing all that you did in 10 years. All that you've done in 10 years. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is to show that, look, Allah has never, ever left anybody out there to dry. Yunus alayhi salam, even if he's in the stomach of a whale, he's at the, like, come on, can you imagine anything more severe than that? But Allah brought him, and why it was that? Who has the highest level of iman? The anbiya. Why? Because they've gone through the hardest level of pain. Ibrahim alayhi salam, what was the hardest level of pain that he was going through? When he was thrown, not pain, but a test. Although he says that that was probably the best 40 days, right? But what was in test, in terms of test, what was it? It was that time. So when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was the hardest moment of his life? According to the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, the hardest moment of his life was Ta'if. Right? Why? Because everybody's rejecting and rejecting, and now he's kicked out, and there's kind of like no hope. And now he finally comes. Do you see? Now, although the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mashallah, his iman is strong. His faith in Allah, we talked about his faith in Allah from the dua, when he was returning back from Ta'if, and he's like, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka dawfa quwwati, ya Allah, I'm complaining to you of the weakness of my strength. And the full-on dua. We realize the level of his iman at that time. On the way back, he's praying tahajjud. He has the level of iman. He has the trust in Allah. He has all of these different things. But despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give him the yusra, because that is the promise of Allah. That is the promise of Allah. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you could say, mashallah, he's still strong. He can still go. Even then, Allah is giving him the yusra, and the yusra is Isra wal Mi'raj. Isra wal Mi'raj, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is leading all the prophets in Bayt al-Maqdis and Masjid al-Aqsa, leading them in salah to strengthen his faith that yes, you are doing something great. To go all the way to the different skies in which he's meeting the Prophet Adam alayhi salam in the first, you know, sky, and he's crying and he's affirming his nabuwah that yes, you are the final prophet. And he's going. And you know, it goes to show the symbolism over here. Goes to show Adam alayhi salam, he was the first person to be in Jannah, and then he was kicked out of Jannah. He was taken out of Jannah, and eventually he was brought back in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you're in Makkah, you might have to leave, but Allah will bring you back, don't worry. Then when it comes to Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam in the second level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show the type of torture that these two faced from their own people. Yahya alayhi salam was slaughtered by his own people, right? And Isa alayhi salam will come back as an ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, strengthening the faith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the third sky, he's meeting Yusuf alayhi salam. And it's to show that who are the people who did the most harm to Yusuf alayhi salam? It was his own immediate family. To show that, yes, you have Abu Lahab, who's jealous, right? Abu Jahl is like, why can't I be the prophet? Why do you say you're the prophet, right? Abu Jahl is like, why does it have to be from Banu Hashim? Why can't it be from our tribe? And so what was with Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers? Why is he more loved? Why is he more this? Why is he more that? To show the symbolism that, yes, you have this as well. Idris alayhi salam in the fourth sky. We don't know much about Idris alayhi salam. The only thing we know from the Quran is that he was a pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And then we see Musa alayhi salam, and we see Harun alayhi salam, and then in the sixth guy was Musa alayhi salam, both of them, to show that both of their people, they originally hated them and fought them and oppressed them, And eventually they came back, right? And then lastly, he meets Ibrahim alayhi salam, because that is his relative. Obviously, even Adam alayhi salam is his relative, but that is the closest connection that he has. The Habibullah, the one who spoke to Allah, all of that. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is there in Baytul Ma'mur. Baytul Ma'mur is almost like the equivalent of the Kaaba in the world. There's a place over there where the angels are doing tawaf. Ibrahim alayhi salam is sitting over there. And as he's going, every single prophet is telling him that, yes, you are the prophet, giving him the strength, giving him the, you know, the affirmation that, yes, please stay strong. And he goes, and there's a long history of him seeing Jannah and the, you know, all the people who will be enjoying in Jannah, and seeing Umar radiallahu anhu's palace and all of that, him seeing Jahannam, and even seeing the guard of Jahannam, Malik. And he says, like, do you ever smile? He's like, he's never smiled. He's never smiled, right? And he's seeing that, and he's seeing the different people who are getting tortured, the people who are going to be backbiting, the people who are going to be doing zina, the people who are going to be, you know, making up stuff about other people, false testimonies. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeing all of that. And then we know some of the major things that happened in the journey of Isra' wal Mi'raj. One is the 5-time salah. We know that it was 50 times, and when he told Musa alayhi salam, he went back and forth and back and forth to the point that it came to a total of 5 times. And that's why some scholars say that when you add it up, actually, when you add up all of our fara'id 17, and then you add up all of the sunnah 12 times, and then you add up the tahajjud of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 8 rakahs, and you add up all of these, it comes exactly to 50, right? So we kind of make up for that, but khair, it was reduced to us to the 5-time salawat as well. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, when he comes back, what happens now? Do you think the people will just believe him? And this is now another thing. You see something, you know something, you're truthful, and other people are like, nope, you're not truthful. You're not this, you're not that. By the way, also, I forget that a part of the Quran that has been gifted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam outside of this world is the last 2 ayats of Surah Baqarah. Right? The last 2 ayats of Surah Al-Baqarah, and that's why we really need to bring Surah, those ayats, into our daily recitation of morning, evening, because those ayats are extremely special. And so then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes back, and now what happens? Do you think now everybody's just going to accept? Do you think now people will be happy with him? Do you think now people will be like, okay, now we believe in you? No. Remember what we said, there's a common pattern. There's an up, there's a down. There's a up, there's a down. And so we saw that down was Ta'if. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him to the yusr. Now when he comes back, it's the usr again, it's hardship again. And inshallah, we'll pick up from this part, but the minimum we learn is that, look, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through the deep pains of Ta'if, he did not stop his effort. And he went through the highest level that a human can reach in Isra' wal Mi'raj, he did not stop his efforts. So whatever situation we're in, we're happy, we're sad, we're prosperous, we're struggling, whatever it may be, we have a mission in this world. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. And that is to connect people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is to establish the values of Islam in our lives and by extension in the whole world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand and to implement and to propagate. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum.